Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk the mystical Mother Earth Show with your tongue-tied host, Golden Hawk, and your enchanted, beloved co-host, Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Yay! Hello, everybody. Hello. Yay! Yay! Hello, Miracle Maker.
Right on! Miracle Maker. That is definitely definitely the energies of this incredible December 26th. Janine, I don't know if you saw what I wrote down for the episode page,
no.
But I basically wrote that we were going to be sharing our Christed experiences.
How beautiful.
Yeah, that we've been feeling for the last couple of days. And because that's, I kept writing on my Facebook page to everybody, Christ and Mass.
I saw that.
You know, yeah, because that is what this time is genuinely about. It is the Christed energy, you know, in Mass, you know, as an experience. And, you know, those that are feeling it are kind of up to their eyeballs in beautiful
mm-hmm.
Christed energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and those that are not feeling it, see, the beauty of Christed energy is it will give you whatever you choose to experience. That's the nature of unconditional love. Well, what do you want life to be? And on some level, you can experience it exactly how you choose it to be.
Yeah. You know, that's funny because I was just listening to Nassim Haramein, and also it was supporting something I was feeling, which could be what you're saying as well about harmony. And I would say that Christed energy would be in harmony with, you know, what the vibe you're on. But what I get is that it's from going inward that the outward, you're experiencing on the outward, which is, I mean, that's what, it's that infinite inward within rather than going outward. Outside the boundary. And I just noticed I think that's really some, you know, when you start catching on to something, because, you know, when you're sensing something or you're feeling something, but you're not quite sure what it is, but then you start hearing, whether you're saying it or I'm hearing other people say it, but it starts to support what I'm feeling. And
that's it.
You've called it the Christed energy, and I was using
Just because we're around Christmas, just so everybody knows,
right,
I don't normally.
No, and that's beautiful, and I agree, and I'm feeling it as harmony.
Right on.
And
you little
and
musician, you.
And harmonics, and it's pretty cool.
Yes.
So,
right on.
Yeah, right on.
It is. The harmony. Just the other day, I posted that it's the harmony within all beings that creates an ecosystem. You know, and I was saturating that because, you know, one of the things that I'm getting a lot of extraordinary emails and messages from people, you know, that are really reaching out to me to let me know that what we're sharing on the show is absolutely beneficial to their experiences right now. And, you know, first of all, I want to say, you know, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for reaching out and sharing that with me. It's amazing. It's amazing. And it encourages me. It inspires me to continue to go within, because,
mm-hmm.
first of all, what you're saying is so right on the money. This whole Christed experience is a totally inside job.
Yeah.
I mean, and the interesting thing about it is, when you start your journey of life by going within,
mm-hmm.
you can still travel to galaxies. You can still travel to places even within the planet. You know, to like Norway. Hi, Simon. or California. You know, I mean. But the thing is, when you start the journey first by going within the self,
mm-hmm.
now that journey is going to take on the hue, H-U-E, the hue,
yeah. Yeah.
Of divinity. See, and that's what I'm realizing. It's not, we can go anywhere we want. And that's not to say you can't physically pick up your body and move and visit to these places. But I'm talking about when we're seeking, you know, when we're seeking for the virtues of life, the things in life that help us understand how relationships function, how anything functions that can't necessarily be held in the tangible. You know, how does integrity work, which we often ask that question, of course, after we've been betrayed. You know,
yeah.
or how does love work, which we often ask that question as we sit there, you know, with a broken heart, you know.
Yeah.
When, you know, and it's like, it will take us to the edges of the cosmos, this journey, when we go within. And I was having this incredible conversation with a lovely woman, Ellen Krins, who I believe she's going to become your friend on Facebook.
She did already.
She did, okay. We went to your webpage. She's a dear sister, and we used to speak all the time, and we spoke today. And it was just like I'm having these incredible conversations. Like, and the inspiration of this New Year's Eve is becoming an incredibly auspicious
mm-hmm.
and like sparkly day for everyone involved in the creation of this marrying of our higher selves, and doing it, you know, from a platform that we're doing it on the air, we're doing it live. I encourage people to call in, but that's okay, you don't have to. But if you call in, I mean, I want you to get excited that, you know, it's like an audio journal of this incredible intention that we're doing as a group. And at the moment, there's about 15, 20 of us
mm-hmm.
that are excited and, you know, talking about sincerely writing vows and commitments to ourselves. Because I know there's people that are, you know, we've done a lot of clearing in the last 10 to 15 years, and they're like, I cleared myself of vows. I'm not here to take any more vows, and I honor that. And I would invite you to consider the vow to self is very different than a vow to anything, you know, outside of the self. And beyond that, you know, it's not about twisting anybody's arm. Everybody's doing this because they feel a call
mm-hmm.
to be with themselves. And it's so funny. I look at the clock and it says 8:08. And I'm going,
yeah.
yes. Infinity surrounded the circle. Yes, exactly. It was my little tap going, yes, Goldie. So in my humble opinion, setting intentions in the frequency we're in, doing it on the air, sharing it on the air, these are all qualities that are going to really be beneficial to everyone that participates. And again, you're participating even if you're just listening to the radio show and you don't call in. That is absolutely still participation. Even if you're listening to the radio show from an archive situation, you know, it's round. Everything's in a circle. There's the now point is always when it's happening. It's Goldie's ego that wants you on the air with her speaking and calling in.
Right. Well, I was thinking of the word amplification, and I do think that what I've noticed, and I haven't been looking for it, so it's not like I'm looking for the solution to something – it's just something I'm noticing. So it's not, you know, something I was seeking. But what
right.
I noticed is that I think speaking out loud on the air, like, it empowers what you're saying, and it amplifies amplifies the experience and possibly the word results. And you know, I'm not, you know, we haven't even been looking for that, but I've just noticed that's happening, and that there's an amplification of things, and that you know, it just seems like I called you the miracle maker, because I don't know, in the last 4 weeks, then it's 3 weeks, then it's 2 weeks, and all these wonderful, you know, lovely surprises that I'm noticing them in my life, and they're just, you know, whether it's a validation of people that I work with, and they're seeing their initiation art pieces, and, you know, really helping them, supporting them, and out of nowhere I'm getting emails about them, and they're sending me pictures, and there's something about, well, these are the two words. And this is what's so great about it, is like when you mentioned New Year's Eve and the vow and all that, you know, someone else might get the feeling of like intensity, but I get this feeling of fun and positivity and sort of joyful celebration. And a lot of the contact I've been having lately, out of nowhere, little things, but they're not little. They're really fun. They're really validation of, wow, this creative stuff is working. You know, it's
exactly.
shifting people's lives. And by the way, it's not, you know, it is serious work, but it's fun and positive and lighthearted. You know, someone could talk to me about their obsession with worrying, or that worrying is getting in their way, and then the next thing you know, they're making a worry doll, and then I get to see they surprise me with a picture of this little sculpture, and I said, it's impossible to stay worried with that worry doll. It's like it's so funny and fun and lighthearted. It's like it turned the worry into like, what are you kidding me with him? You know, it's like so it's
right on.
You know,
right
and
on.
And I know, I remember I think it was his last name Siegel, that he worked with people that were ill, and that he said the absolute best medicine was laughing and being silly, and, you know, great.
That is the truth. There was somebody that I believe,
Bernie
like
Siegel. That was it, Bernie Siegel.
Okay, I think they went like 3 weeks watching funny videos, and there was somebody that was riddled with like all sorts of illness, and all he watched for 3 weeks straight was funny videos, and anything funny, from slapstick to, you know, stand up comedies, and according to the report, he was healed. I mean, his body could no longer hold the frequency of being ill in all that laughter.
Right. Well, I mean, I just can share with the audience, you know, it's an anonymous kind of thing, because I don't want to give away names and stuff. But when I saw this worry doll, I mean, it is so funny that you could ever look and see that it's a worry doll. It's something else. The intention was just to help their worry. And now, you know, so I called it this creative stuff, because it just makes me laugh. It's working. It's helping people. And this is the, you know, someone else, you know, I think she's 10 years old, was working with it. And I'm just getting these emails, and they're just so they're like little gifts coming out of nowhere, as a result of whatever's coming, it's like it's a back and forth, but it's a really wonderful back and forth, you know? So I don't know. I just am calling it some kind of harmony or harmonics, or that's the word that came to me. And it just feels great. And
It does feel great.
It is nice that it's kind of that Christmas time, you know, connection. But
yeah, yeah.
But I'm pretty sure this is
going
to.
This ain't going away come January.
Right.
You know, this is because it's funny. I'm getting the hit as I'm listening to you talk, and this is what the energy is saying to me right now. It's like it's doing the serious work without the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
you know, it's like,
I mean,
set an intention, let the energy move everything. You know, it's not like we have to do this heavy go into our psyche, analyze where our lives have gone wrong. I mean, because I can, you know, in my humble opinion, what this energy is doing is shedding light on everything we thought needed to be fixed,
mm-hmm.
and kind of helping us understand that there was nothing ever wrong. Like ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was us having experiences in separation because we chose to have experiences in separation. And now the energy is unifying us again. And all we have to do is simply go, oh, okay, so we're going to put on a new play, you know, and the new play is not about separation. The new play is about how we become unified. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we're just changing scripts, you know, and the harmony is showing up and the friendliness is showing. I mean, forgiveness. You know, Janine, you pointed this out to me, and I'll be honest with you, I've kind of, you know, it's becoming a highlighted aspect of that. I truly do forgive effortlessly. I mean, and it's not that I don't feel, it's the simple idea, this energy really, you know, as we're, you know, compressing time and all the things that are happening, if we look at this, if we looked at life from like the hub of a wheel and every spoke was a different aspect that's shifting, you know, you can really see that there's so much magic happening, like you were saying, that is just a joyful experience, it's not a scary or detrimental at all. I mean, I forget, I was listening to a video the other day, it was Almeen, and it was interesting because she brought up in the 1930s when there was the Depression, you know, the people in town, when they had lost all, you know, when the great crash of the stock exchange happened, the people in town who were all dependent and codependent upon, you know, the businesses that brought them their foods and their clothes, or, you know, they were not dependent on the earth anymore. It was all dependent on just services. She was like, they had a very different experience of the Depression than the people who, you know, maybe were grown up on a farm, who were already communing with the land was already serving them. They wouldn't have felt it so much that the stock market crashed. I mean, they were already humble, they were already communing with the planet, and you know, that kind of just struck me as, that's what this preparation, this whole idea of preparation, of, you know, like I was saying this to Ellen today, I was like, for me, the greatest preparation that I'm experiencing is my ability to surrender to what I think is what I want from life.
Uh-huh.
And I know that sounds like, well, what the hell did she just say? And it what I'm realizing is, there's a part of me that wants very much the conditioned state of being, that which I was taught through my environment, through my wonderful parents, who, as beautiful as they were as unconscious as, you know, the day is long, you know, and society and the educational system. Because you weren't on the show last Thursday. I had a beautiful woman named Robin Marvel who basically broached the question to me, am I procrastinating not going out and creating, you know, doing talks out in the world and, you know, basically, if it's not going to be a job through nannying, am I procrastinating doing it, you know, putting energy someplace else? And you know, I honored it. I was like, you know, I think I might be procrastinating. And mm-hmm. I thought about this a lot after Thursday's show, because if there is something in me that is in the energy of I should be doing it, but I'm not, I mean, you know me as well as anybody. Well, we're going to dig that up, man.
I am
going to look at that. And my truth is, and, you know, I say this on the air, my truth is that whatever this magic Christed energy that literally is moving mountains through intentions, and it's the energy Robert Young speaks about, where he cleaned half a window, went away for 2 weeks, and when he came back, his entire house was cleaned in all the windows, because he had instructed the energy how to do it by cleaning a half a window. Like, I want to live from a truly miraculous, magical space of, you know, a multidimensional being in complete communion with other multidimensional beings, in complete harmony with my experience and everybody around me experience, and the Earth's experience. And I don't think that this happens, you know, on the timeline that my ego wants. I mean, clearly my ego wants me to make some money to feel that I'm contributing to my experience and my sustenance right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I meditate on what I'm experiencing right now and what I am, quote unquote, doing right now, that's when I came up with that ecosystem hive thing. It's like, you know what? I am absolutely contributing to the peace on the planet, to the genuine acceptance of change on the planet, to, you know, just lots of things. And I have found, of course, in the mystery, like three different people have come into my life recently that I've known, but, you know, I haven't talked to in a while. All of them sharing with me, I just recently got unemployed, you know, I'm ready to start the journey. And I could say to them, oh, you're successfully unemployed. That's awesome. You know, and it's like, I realized, you know, it's just a matter of walking maybe a few steps ahead on the path. You know, do I have the answers of the next few steps? No, I'm not there yet. Can't give you an answer until I've experienced it. But I can tell you that in the experiencing of this, the harmony that's shown up is, well, let's share about my dad tonight.
Okay, that's great. That's a lovely result of what I've been witnessing in your life and in mine. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a really beautiful shift in offering and supportive. And so, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so now what many of us know from light workers is, well, I won't speak for many. I can only speak for myself. As soon as that comes out of my mouth, stop that, Goldie. Okay. What I have experienced is basically the support from the spiritual aspect, the financial support from my spiritual world has, you know, I've made my money. It's been spiritually come to me, but it's because, you know, infant children would call me to their homes and say, okay, I want you in my presence, and their parents would pay me for that. The people that have brought the spiritual to me are these, you know, infants and toddlers for the last 20 years. Well, that the world is genuinely shifting. Me and Janine have been talking about it, and I told her in February of 2012, is the renewal for the Blog Talk Radio show, and that I had no fear around any of this, but that we should, you know, consider, you know, putting it out there as an intention that, you know, it costs $300 or $330. It's somewhere in the $300 range. I believe that's what I paid last year, and that might have been an introductory price. I'm not sure. It might go up a little, but it's somewhere in that realm. And so I was talking to my dad and basically said, okay, listen, you know, he normally gives me $100 for Hanukkah in December. Mm-hmm. He gives me $100 for my birthday in February. And I told him, you know, okay, hold those gifts. And come February, I might have to borrow $100 to do my radio show, you know, I pay it once, it's paid for the year. And I'm telling you, out of nowhere, my father just kind of looked at me and went, no, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you the whole $300 for your radio show because I want bragging rights that I helped my child effectively express her passion. And you can't see me right now, folks, but I'm telling you, I was sitting at the kitchen table eating a bagel, looking at my father across the table, and my jaw, as it hit the table, almost slipped the bills off. I was just like, really? I mean, it was just, he was so adamant about, he goes, you know, not everybody has bragging rights that they can help their children. But I can help my children. My eyes are just like glued to him, and I'm like, "Hey, Dad, that is right on." I mean, it was so. We had a hippie moment, man. Dad was hippie with me.
Yeah.
So
I just felt like he was shining with that, you know.
How he was expressing it then. Exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. It's like, oh, people want copyrights and people want legal rights, but he just wants bragging rights.
It's exactly what he said. I know
that's
my
so
father
cute.
Is a master of words. It's where I get
that's
the masterful.
Amazing.
Yes. It was exquisite. I mean, it was just a matter of, and I literally looked at him and I said, I appreciate it because now I don't have to worry. I wasn't worried anyways. I wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great sponsor we have.
But we have a sponsor now, yes. Our first of
a
many.
A shining father.
Yeah, exactly. A proud papa.
Very nice. Really nice.
Yes.
I'm honored as well because, you know, I get to be supported too by him. You know, that's great.
Absolutely. Right on, babe. Right on.
So great.
And clearly, anytime, if you ever come, you know, down this way, you'll definitely have to meet my dad. That's
a
hands down. Oh, yeah. I can see us all sitting at the kitchen table and laughing and chuckling and me blushing for the, you know, 25 minutes straight. I could just see
Right. But you know, that's what in one day, there within an hour, I'm trying to think, I got, there was three things or something that came in. Let me think about this. I fell asleep on the couch. I woke up. There was a hawk literally sitting outside on a tree, a small hawk too. It was like almost like an adolescent hawk. So it didn't feel like, you know, it wasn't a big hawk. It was just a
right.
small hawk. And
wasn't a hawker of a hawk.
Yeah. And, you know, and within that time period, oh yeah, that's right. I sent a book, The Magic Gown, a signed copy to Simon in Norway because I'm giving away signed copies of The Magic Gown as gifts. So stay tuned.
Can we make the announcement tonight? Can we make the announcement tonight?
Yeah, anybody
okay.
that wants to, you know, just sort of let us know you're around, whether it's calling in or, you know, little note on Facebook.
Right on.
Let us know because you know, the Magic Gown book that I wrote, the second edition now is out since 2008, and it supports all of this. It is about the magic of moving through doorways of enchanted and facing things and acceleration and coming home with gifts, basically. And and when you read it, you'll know. So that I'm just putting it out there.
Well, and the call, let me give the call-in number because I'm hearing my voice. Well, give the number so they know. 646-929-2084. And just press the number 1 on your phone pad, and that'll cue you up that you want me to take you off a hold, and then we'll get the details and send you a book.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and so within, I think it was, you know, I woke up to this hawk. The hawk was there for 3 hours. I put a magical message to Simon in there.
Right.
I found this beautiful song that we're going to play sometime in the opening of the radio show. It's a song from Norway. I heard it in 1993. I tracked it down, and it wasn't hard to find, although it's obscure. So it should have been hard to find, but I found it. And
right
then,
on.
so the hawk was there. I sent the book off. That felt wonderful. I found the song. And then I get an email of a picture of an initiation art piece of a worry doll that defied any imagination I could have possibly thought of what a worry doll looks like, because it was fantastic. And so, you know, I felt like, wow, this is amazing. This is, and that's just in a period of a 3-hour window while a hawk was watching. And as soon as I sent off a message that I had sent the book off, the hawk left as if to say, my job is done, you know, and then the worry doll showed up, and that made me laugh. And yeah, and it just, there's this harmonious back and forth that is occurring in these messaging between people about, you know, what they're just, you know, I'm affecting them, they're affecting me, Goldie's affecting me, I'm affecting Goldie, she's affecting others, they're affecting her. And that's, I just feel it. And that's probably where I'm getting the word harmony. And I did notice that Nassim Harriman used the word harmony with nature, which, I couldn't agree with that more. And
yeah, clearly.
Once again, just to give complete honor to Mother Earth and nature, and that I'm always so, so happy and proud that this is the Mystical Mother Earth show, that harmony with nature to me is somehow, it is the magical vibe. You know, it is why the people who were working with the land, and they were kind of almost self-possessed with, because of their harmony with nature, that they didn't feel the shaking up or the deprivation or the disorientation of what happens when, you know, all our man-made constructs sort of go bad.
Exactly.
You know, that makes so much sense to me. And so that's just, you know, I'm always so happy to reconnect when we're talking, to just, you know, I love the fact that this is the Mystical Mother Earth show. And by the way, did you notice your title on the show on Blog Talk Radio?
What do you mean the title?
It says Mystical Mother Show. I just noticed it as a
Goldie stopped it.
I'm just like,
while Goldie was visiting other realms, she forgot to put down.
I always love these kinds of things because it's always
well,
so
right,
perfect.
Huh? Subliminal, yeah. Right?
Yes, totally. The Mystical Mother Show, Living Inspired by Nature. And I'm like, okay.
wait, where is that? Let me get to, let me look
Go
at that.
Go on there. It's so funny.
The Mystical.
Hey, but you know, aren't we all mystical mothers? You know?
Yes, you know, oh, and indeed.
Even
indeed.
Your guys out there. We are.
That is just really funny. That is really great.
It's so great. Don't you love when things like that happen?
But
so,
no, now it's like chalk on the chalkboard. I need to go erase it.
Correct. Everybody loves
no, actually, I'm not, because God forbid it just disconnected us if I did something. So I am going to have to, you know, and I am, but I will correct it.
I don't know. Mystical Mother Show is pretty good too.
So, I love you.
Well,
it's all fun. It's all, they got here, right? Links to say.
No, it's great because you know, jazz, you know, music like jazz and dancing, they're never perfect. They're just exactly as they should be. And
Right on.
The greatest compliment I ever got was that someone told me my paintings were like jazz music because they're just made in just some sort of free form feeling way.
Mm.
And somehow they come out very fluided, you know, fluidity and that's how I think life is. And that is living in harmony with nature. And so, I think the Mystical Mother Show is exactly that.
I mean, mean, I hope Earth understands. I didn't mean anything by it.
No, living inspired by nature. It's all there. It's all there.
No, right on. That is just so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so it's all good.
Oh, my God, it's all beyond good. It is so, okay, I'm at the page. I'm correcting it as we speak. Earth, I need Earth to be there. She needs to know. I totally respect her.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny, too, though, speaking of Earth, because...
okay, it's better now.
Is it? Well, yeah. What do I do, refresh or something here?
I would imagine, yes.
Refresh.
Let me know if it works out. I'm sorry, everybody. This is just me being a cuckoo bird.
This is fun today.
This
anyway.
Is fun. No, right on. I agree. Well, you know, it's like people come from far and near. What is Goldie talking about this week? Oh, Goldie's talking about typos.
No, it's miracles.
No. Well, I'll tell you, this is interesting, too, and it is extremely, like... See, I love it because I am very conscious of many of the things that I do. I definitely still have some unconscious stuff, but I'm very conscious. Mm-hmm. When I was setting up the show for New Year's, when I was setting up that episode, there was something came up, and I remember going, "No, shoot for the perfection, Goldie. It's like, you know, that's why you got the time right now. You're not working, so the things that you create, shoot for the perfection." And because I know I wanted to get the cup in our pictures, Janine's beautiful goblet that she painted, which is, you know, hands down, the divine feminine in many cultures. You know, the whole Da Vinci Code talks about the feminine being a cup. And yeah. I mean, this is about, you know, having me personally having the adoration and respect of Janine's work and saying, absolutely, that is, you know, I want to share your work on our radio show. And so it was so funny how it was in my head going, yes, perfection, Goldie, perfection.
That's so perfect. Yeah,
and then I completely
forget
the name.
No, but it was perfect.
Because I don't know when I made this episode. I know I updated it with the pictures, but I think I might have, anyways, it doesn't matter. You know, if we can't laugh at ourselves,
but
life is tragic.
The list for me is long in these areas of, you know, you look back and you go, wow. I mean, I have a painting where there's this beautiful red bird, you know, like if I could like go through every painting and tell people and they would never notice something that I'll notice, but I'll there's this beautiful red bird flying, carrying this vine. Because I love vines. They indicate vitality and passion and life force to me and magic and all that. But anyway, I tried so many ways to put feet on this bird or you know, claws or whatever birds have.
Talons.
Yeah, you know, like legs with little claws. And this bird just literally, I guess, decided, I'm always in flight. There's no legs here. And this is, you know, and nobody would ever probably look at this painting and go, this is a big painting. It's an important painting to me in that, it, you know, it took a lot of time. It's beautiful. It's got dancing pears and a guitar and this bird in flight that's like swooping and flying. A lot of music in this painting. And
nice.
The bird doesn't have any feet. And I was wondering, you know, I was like, you know, I wonder if that would bother someone if they knew it, that they would go, oh, no, this poor bird never can land. It must be exhausted. But I find it interesting because no matter how many times I tried to put the feet and paint them on the bird, it just wouldn't happen. They never.
Interesting.
So,
yeah. Huh.
So, you know, these are, or I'll look at paintings and go, huh. You know, look at how you didn't do whatever, or, you know, that technically that should have. And, you know, so I that's creativity. And
no, and I agree. And I think it's also kind of like the subtle world making its, you know, Earth in all her subtlety, you know, we're giving her the attention tonight that we might not have given it to her if I hadn't forgotten. Because, I mean, I'm even seeing that in my own world. Like, what I'm starting to share as my personal experiences, mm-hmm. everything accumulated that's happening, what I am learning so clearly is when I know what I don't want, I also simultaneously know very clearly what I do want.
That's very true.
And I think it's important for us to give ourselves a little bit of a break because, you know, we're the system or the cycle is naturally bringing us back together into wholeness. And in my humble opinion, anybody that's been intending, you know, for the harmony and the peace, that's a major part of it. Wholeness will carry with it the harmony and the peace. And so when we're kind of realizing what we don't want, that's because we're letting go of it, not because we're, you know, we've failed ourselves or we're no good or we're undeserving. Because when we came here to go through the separation and the descension, it was just as difficult for us when we were initially descending in the days of Lemuria to feel the separation. You know, that part was just as foreign to us, or as I like to say, it was alien to us, as it is that the cycle now that it's ending is now bringing us back together. But it's still happening, the earth and through nature, it's happening to us. So if we start noticing, and I think Abraham Hicks talks a lot about this too, if you notice what you don't want, you can celebrate that just as clearly as you can when you celebrate what you do want, because knowing what you don't want powerfully puts you also in a space of knowing what you do want. And now all of your energy is focused divinely. There's no doubt. There's nothing to trip you up. You know, there's a momentum that carries us. And it's because of the clarity. Like, you know, I remember when everybody was I was in Wisconsin and we had this big circle of people and everybody was, you know, doing an intention. And there was some peace and some love and, you know, all that beautiful stuff. And Goldie, for like the last 10 years, if you put me in an intention circle, right before I met you, my friend Janine, I always would ask for one thing, clarity. Because I'm like, just give me the clarity to know what's going on and then I'll make the choice. I never really felt I needed, you know, something outside of me to create the gift. And no, just give me the clarity of what is, and then I'll make the choice. And I can tell you in these last 3 months, unbelievable clarity. I mean, I was talking to Dennis last night. I don't know if Dennis is listening. If you are, hey, Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
And he told me, he goes, your voice is different. Mm-hmm. And I started cracking up because remember when I spoke to you about, you know, when we drop into our ourselves, and I said, how is my voice different? And he goes, I don't know, there's like a childlike quality to it.
Mm.
I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes perfect sense to me because what I'm like taking back into myself is my inner child. You know, I'm letting the warrior kind of relax and not have to be, you know, the powerful one standing in front of us with a sword going, I'll kick anybody's ass who comes near us. And ultimately getting our asses kicked because of that.
Yeah.
You know, we're now, it's, you know, like, remember even a couple of weeks ago or last week, you mentioned warrior, and I tripped out and was like, no, this isn't about the warrior. And you were like,
right.
Goldie,
warrior,
this was my definition.
Yes, it's like leader.
Well, no, what was the definition? Could please share that again?
Well,
what was the definition of your warrior?
Well, warrior is the old, like, an old terminology for today's modern terminology, which would be the leader quality. Which would, and then I use the analogy of lead and walk your talk and, you know, stand behind yourself, be authentic. You know, that's the warrior to me. Able to, you know, you, by the way, you're more great leaders and warriors, but as a leader, have great humility. They are not, this is not led by ego. This is led by just sort of in your body dropped in, you know, I stand on my feet and I stand behind myself. And when you do that, you know, you're lead by example. I mean, that truly
right on.
Is to me.
Right on.
Like when I think of people that I really like admire for that quality, what do you think I'm doing? I'm like looking at them and saying, there is a great example of leadership, of someone who stands behind themselves. So that's the difference. It's not the old terminology of warrior and, you know, goes out in the field and kills everybody. But
yeah, right. We're not talking Caesar here.
No,
we're talking Nelson Mandela and Gandhi.
Yes,
Yeah. Right on. Right on.
Yeah. So that was that. Yeah. And,
yeah.
And I also just want to add too, because we were saying that, or I was saying, because you had said, I really do think that the divine child is the maybe the change master or the
right.
I'm saying
it's the intuition.
That divine child is in every quality and resource we have, and it's the, you know, there's the shadow side of everything. So the wounded child would be the shadow side of the divine child, but the divine child is truly like, I mean, talk about creativity and, you know, I don't know, all this to me, all this leads to clarity, which to
right
me
on.
Is
right
being
on.
In harmony with nature.
Yeah.
So it's like all of that, it just sort of, if they all melt into, you know, this, or blend into this, if, you know, if you're in harmony, you have clarity, but it's really being in harmony with nature, which is, you know, I can only sort of feel it, can't you? It's just this.
Oh,
feeling.
My God. I can feel it. Yes.
Oh, and just speaking of, like, you know, these constant, wonderful synchronicities, or just before I called into the show, I wanted to tweet that, you know, that the show was going on.
Oh,
so
nice.
I hit the tweet button, and then I wanted to check that it posted. And so
okay.
then I saw on my tweet page, my publicist is Sarah Scarlett, and I saw that she posted this little message by Eckhart Tolle. And, you know, I'm not very, 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 very familiar with Eckhart Tolle, but anything I've ever heard him say has been really great, and
he's brilliant.
Very,
he's
very
brilliant.
Powerful in its simplicity. So I, this is what, but it's exactly what you were saying before, and I'll just read it. It says, use whatever challenge comes into your life as a kind of fuel for the flame of consciousness. That is done through surrender to what is. Some people may need more of that than others. But listen to this one. If you choose presence in your daily life, you may not need the drastic challenges at all. So,
oh, wow.
You know, I love that, because we talk so much about presence, and presence to me is just this kind of like this, you know, steadfast, self-possessed, you know, just this a presence.
right.
Yeah, and that to me, once again, it just feels harmonious, you know. And how do you get there? That's a really great question, right? I don't know. You just keep going. That's how you get.
Well,
you
it's a choice.
It.
This is what I'm learning through the initiation art. And it's how do you get there? Because, you know, one of the things Nassim says, this is a great segue. Thank you, babe. Nassim says here in one of the videos that he does, he talks about how, you know, initially when he was taught, you know, he's taught that dimensions were, there's a dot, that's not real. Then there's a line, that's a second dimension, that's not real.
Right.
Then there's the third dimension, and it makes a square, and that's real. And he went,
yes, the cube.
The cube, right.
Volume, yeah.
Exactly, that right, that the second dimension was the land of comics, and, you know, the second dimension wasn't real. And he was like, I'm sorry, you could have a billion dimensions if they're all not real. A billion dimensions stacked on top of each other do not create something that's real. And and he went on this journey where he went out and he started seeing his bus, and then his country, and then his planets, and then his solar system, and they all started becoming dots. And what he started realizing is that the dot was in everything. The dot is in the, it's what you can bring a solar system to, and it's what you can bring the smallest particle in a cell, in an amoeba, or, you know, in a quark, in a quasar, in, you know, in other words, from the largest to the smallest, it all becomes dots. And so what you were just saying, and of course I just totally lost my grip. I know
right.
It has to do with, what did you just say right before?
So you said it was a great segue, and I said, how do you get there? And I said, you just keep moving forward. You just keep moving.
Oh, the surrender. You were asking about how to surrender.
Oh, yeah, you surrender. Yes, yes.
Well, and it's,
and I can read that again if you want.
And, you know, I went to your thing. I'm posting it on Facebook. Here's the thing. You know, when we want to get through the big challenges in life, then this is exactly what Eckhart's talking about, and it's crazy that I just totally understand this because I'm living it. But when we want to get to the big changes in life, if we've been doing the small changes of surrendering that the parking
mm-hmm.
space isn't there, surrendering, like I'm finding anytime I'm in a relationship with Scott, I am always at a space of, in order to have harmony in the relationship, my ego must be tempered and my compassion and my soul must, I got to give that forthright of who shows up in the relationship. Because
mm-hmm.
Because it's such a delicate matter of emotions and subconscious, playing with consciousness. And I mean, I just said to Scott, Christmas Day, after the second argument we had in the morning. We had an argument Christmas Eve day morning, and we had an argument Christmas Day morning. And both times I realized, you know, I have to surrender what my mind keeps telling me is going to be this perfect relationship, and his part in my mind's eye of what a perfect relationship is. And I have to look at him for exactly who he is, because the perfection is in treat him from the reality that he is, not from
mm-hmm.
the reality that I want him to be.
Yeah.
And because I was talking to Janine about this earlier today, and I walked up to him, and I just, in total humility, went, I surrender everything. I mean, I am completely letting go of everything that it is that I want from you, because what I want to experience with you is you. Who you really
yeah.
are, not who I'm going to make you become.
Yeah. Well, that's not only surrendering, but that is, if you choose presence in your daily life, you may not need the drastic challenges, as he says. Because I really do think that this is the irony of it all, that George says this, and the word real and reality. When you look at people for and see them in their reality of who they are, it's so liberating, because you start seeing it for, you know, in a real way rather than in this self-projected, this is how I want it way, which is really actually not that great for you anyway, because, you know, the bigger picture, the universe knows a lot better about, you know, it's almost like, okay, so the being in harmony with nature is so much better than trying to create what we think we want, because it's,
exactly.
I'll tell you, that
exactly.
is not harmony in nature. And when you accept people in their, like, just as they are, it just, I feel this great liberation of, wow, I was putting so much projection of what I think this is supposed to be and what I want, and when I allow it to be what it is, it's so much better. It's more authentic.
It is so
and
much better.
And you can
God.
Live less worried, and you live more liberated. And, you know, and I'm
right?
always saying,
that's
I'm always
true,
saying this
because yes.
I've lived it where you can, and this is another great kind of quote, like, you know, not rule, but it's a great remembering.
Guidance.
That,
there you go.
That
memory.
You can,
yes.
That you can always go back and readdress something. This is not the, oh, I didn't do it right, you know, and we had a fight, and now I got to stick to my guns, and I can't. No,
right
go
on.
Back and redo, because you can. That's a really good thing to remember. You can always go back and say, you know, I didn't do it very well last time. Let me try it again. And it's
yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's so relieving, because you actually start feeling or the palpable changes within yourself, you go, like I've done that, and I actually surprise myself and go, wow, you know, that's amazing. You really aren't doing things the same way anymore. You
exactly.
You're not holding on to this. Oh, no, this is the way I do it, and this is the way I feel. And, you know, I'm very convicted, and I know my feelings. It's like, wait a minute.
But, friends, you know what that kind of thinking is called? It's called being rigid. What you mean?
Yeah,
meaning
and
thinking, I have to do
it.
I know what
right.
makes me happy, and this is what's going
to
make me happy come hell or high water. That's what I mean, do we sound like our parents or what? I mean, when we speak like that.
No, so it's just so, it's so liberating to when I say or to myself or to someone else, I go, just see them for who they really are. Reality is so liberating. And I keep, and then I say inside my head, I go, that sounds so bizarre, but it's true.
It is. No, and to me, it doesn't sound bizarre at all. It's incredibly wise guidance.
Well, you know what's so funny
wise.
About me saying that? Because I love to write enchanted, fictional, you know, maybe they're not fictional. That's the irony of it all. But, you know,
exactly.
I write these wonderful stories of, you know, like, and then I go, but you're such a promoter of reality. It's like,
well, the question is, which reality? Which reality are we
right.
promoting now?
So it's just also, once again,
paradoxical.
Where I end up. Yeah,
okay.
Well, it is paradoxical, but where I end up is that it's very funny to me. You know, I amuse myself by my own kind of, you know, paradoxical, like, I love imagination where the trees are blue, where the trees are red, and, you know, everything's different colors, and yet I'm such a promoter of reality. But it's like, yeah, but Janine, your reality is quite interesting.
Exactly.
It's like
harmonious. It is a harmonious blue in those trees.
Right, but it's also to see people for who they really are it's a different kind of definition of reality to me. You know, like if someone said to me, oh, would you do a painting of that beautiful bridge over the water with that, you know, that those trees, I'd be like, sure. And then they might be surprised because the forest is purple and, you know, whatever. I mean, it's all different. But, you know, that to me is like, hey, that might be my reality. But when it comes to, like, seeing people, I want to see them clearly as who they are, not who I'm projecting as who they are. You know,
right.
So, and I guess that would include then that I'm actually more authentic, you know.
Right
because
on.
Because within, without, you know, inward, outward.
Yeah.
It would be that I am more in my own authenticness. So, yeah, so these are just the things that, honestly, I've been feeling an acceleration of this kind of understanding in the last, like, I don't know, it just feels more, and I know you feel it.
I think
our conversations together, the radio, talking out there to people, you know, it's all supporting it.
It is, there is a consensus of clarity going on.
Yeah.
It, absolutely. And,
yeah.
I mean, because I want to keep kind of going with what you were just saying about being authentic.
Okay.
Because, I mean, one of the clarities that I'm getting, and what I like to do is I'm just sharing with you the new things that come up, because as you make new choices, it is going to, you know that saying, insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. But
yeah.
this is actually the flip side of that. You making different choices creates different relationships, creates how it manifests, how it plays out. And one of the things that I'm becoming very clear on that has everything to do with the grounding and the, I guess for lack of a better word, the self-trust that I have is surrendering my ego's desires to Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I'm capable of doing that because there is a difference between surrendering the ego and surrendering my identity of who I am. I can remember being very afraid in my relationships prior to this, even with Scott, just not at this particular time, where I was afraid to surrender myself because the fear was always that I'm going to lose myself. I used to call myself a professional chameleon. And whoever I dated, I could take up the attributes of that person. In other words, whatever sport they liked, I was pretty well-versed in, you know, everything shy of... I wasn't too good on hockey, but I didn't date a lot of hockey people or people that liked hockey. So, but I knew basketball, baseball, football. You know what I mean? You date somebody from down south, you learn cooking from down south and the music. You know, it's like... I could always acclimate myself effortlessly. I was a chameleon. And it was always, you know, I'm going to make them love me by kind of becoming more of them or something. I don't really know. I just know that was the mentality. And when I went through a period in my life that, in all honesty, lasted about 15 years, I'm just coming out of it, of really wanting to get to know who I am. I didn't do that. I would surrender the relationship before I would surrender, you know, myself. And I saw how I didn't get the true love by surrendering myself, and I didn't get the true love in a relationship by not surrendering myself. I did find me, however. And once I really believe that once we have a true grasp on who the core of us are and who we are, and we're very connected to that, it's very easy to play with the outside of, you know, I'm, when I say easy, it's much easier to swallow a big chunk of humble pie as, you know, you stand in front of your boyfriend and go, yeah, I screwed up again, but, you know, I'm choosing differently. You know, I'm choosing differently because I want this relationship this time to be different. And I know he experienced me as being different because after I came back, this, you know, after the second morning of the same basic fight, in the sense of that it was my ego was pumped up, and I was wanting what I wanted. I could feel it. I mean, and I was communicating that to him. I was like, listen, this is what I want. And what I was wanting from Scott was basically to be verbal with me. And Scott isn't verbal. That's just not his form of communication. He communicates through different sensations, and his energy is off the charts. When he touches me, oh, my God, I am flying. And I don't mean sexually. I mean, just, he can place his hand on my shoulder. And it's like, you know, I feel it. I love it. And when I came back in and said, listen, okay, you know, I keep pushing this verbal thing. Let's throw the verbal out the window. That's my ego. You know, I just want to respect and honor you for who you are. You know, I came in, I surrendered everything. I was genuinely just not, I was just forgiving the whole experience. I wasn't holding it in. I wasn't, you know, running it over in my head, looping it. And within 20 minutes, he invited me, you know, to join him in the bed. And he non-verbally showed me how much he loved me. It was fantastic. And it was like, I mean, it just became so clear to me how when I shift the way I'm going to get the communication based on who I'm, like when I'm talking with Janine, I absolutely can expect verbal communication because she gives it to me. It's part of who she is. That's not Scott. It's not his wiring. It's not who he is. So when I shift with Scott that we're going to speak through telepathy and empathically, I am learning he is speaking to me. He's screaming from a loudspeaker on those frequencies.
Yeah, it's such an honoring. It's such an honoring. And you know, I mean, we are so
diverse.
Well,
it's an honoring for me, too. I mean.
Right. We're very diverse, and we all have different ways of. I mean, that, you know, that's a presence. And I'm sure everyone listening or, you know, how they are in relationship with another and noticing, you know, there's some people that are their verbalness is, you know, really an expression, and then someone else's may not be verbal, but their physicality and their tenderness is an expression.
Yeah.
You know, and they're both languages to me, you know.
Yeah.
So
and they're languages that, in all honesty, it's where we're heading. I mean, we're heading to no cell phones. We're heading to no... The technology doesn't need... We don't need the technology on the outside to be in a space where we're completely communicative with each other, clear as bell through the technology on the internet. And being with Scott is really just the... It's the motivation and the inspiration to kind of hone my instruments from within, just for the fact that because it's not one of his strong suits to communicate with me. And the funny part about it is almost every guy I've ever dated since I was 30, since my awakening, none of them were very verbal. None of them. You know, and it's like, well, how funny is that? It's almost like, and where I would look at it and go, what am I doing so? See, now this is where I'm saying where you can look in life and go, Why do I keep attracting the same type of man that doesn't verbalize? And it's like, oh, I mean, the intuition says, because it's time for you to stop using verbal to communicate. It's time for me to start using...
Yeah, there's many ways to communicate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to read something, a quote that I had posted today, and it's...
Okay.
It's from Marianne Williamson, and it's an exquisite quote. I think everybody will enjoy it. Okay, so here goes. For love is the trial of initiation, where all that is not our truest selves, the most authentic expression of our highest potential, is cast into the fires of the divine transformative alchemy. Once I really, truly see you, I will see you are not perfect. You are a human being just like me, and your fear runs deep exactly like mine. You have not transcended all your fears any more than I have transcended all of mine. And now in this moment, both our weaknesses and our strength in tow, we walk this earth together.
Mm.
I personally thought that was deep.
Mm, beautiful. Well,
yeah.
You know, it's so funny because as we, you know, I love the fact, you know, I love too that, you know, everything that sounds, that is true, is so like wonderfully corny, you know. It's just like I love that, you know. I just
right,
and because it is, and it's like, but it's so real to me, and you know, I just feel that the more we expose our weaknesses, they actually are our strengths, and that's
yes.
Again another one of those paradoxes where, you know. I was just watching just like the last part of Meet Joe Black, which is this movie, and there's this great character in it at the end, and I think his name is Vince, and he was saying something about his wife, and she goes, oh, she knows everything about me and all my weaknesses, and still she loves me, and that's what relationships are, and I was thinking,
right on,
yeah, and I was just like, well, you know, that's. It's when you drop the needing to try to prove how wonderful you are, and you're just yourself, and then it's amazing how it becomes your strength. That because guess why, we're back to the word authenticity.
Exactly.
You know, we're just being an authentic self. You know, I mean, and
yeah.
So yeah, so that is, and I guess, and that all started with. Me feeling, and it's myself, but also telling others that when you start seeing people for who they really are, and this was a great moment with someone that I was talking to, that he said to me, well, you know, I'm starting to, like, you know, let people be who they are, and not, I'm not getting triggered by them as much, and I'm not judging them as much, and I go, well, that's beautiful, and that's because you're doing the same for yourself. You know,
right
you're,
on. Yes.
Yeah. You're not judging yourself as much anymore. You're not being as hard on yourself anymore. You're allowing yourself to be yourself more, and so therefore you're doing the same thing with others, because we're pretty much, you know, we do that. That's what we do.
Right, right. That's the utilization of the people on the planet.
You start really accepting people much more for their realness, and then you're more liberated. You just are. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm only learning this as I go along, and I'm going, and it's all like by feeling, because it's just this is what you feel, and then the beauty is that you then can share this with others, and then they go, yeah, and then they get So that's
well, like, you know, I'm coming to the total clarity that, you know, in the fourth dimension, things need to get healed and fixed and changed.
Mm-hmm.
In the fifth dimension, things are perfect exactly as they are. And it's not, the perfection is the understanding of such a grander picture than just
mm-hmm.
this one dimension, the third dimension. You know, the third dimension is by nature, it's inherently limited. And fifth dimension inherently by nature is not. Because, like, I don't know if I mentioned this on the air or not, but it totally hit me. The reason why the power is in the center of the paradox, being able to be in both sides of whatever the paradox is,
mm-hmm.
is because that's a defining point of multidimensionality. In other words, if you can see and understand and feel and accept two opposite truths simultaneously, that could only be accomplished through multidimensionality and your awareness of your space in both dimensions.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah, that's that singularity thing.
Yet not being singular. Yeah, well, I guess you are. Right.
Well, and you're standing in the middle there. You're aware of both.
Yes.
You know, and that's why the listeners might hear us say so much with that how the paradox plays off of each other, and you know how you can be in both spaces at once. It's like
to unify, you have to be in both spaces at once. And then here's the flippy, quirky side of it. And in truth, you've never not been in all spaces at once.
Exactly. That's right.
Something we have to create. We just have to
remember.
No, that's
exactly right. You're already standing right there. You just have to, like, look down and go, oh.
I'm here. All's well. Yeah. Nothing needs to be fixed. Let's just grab it together and unify it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you know, and a really, that's why our greatest ally is nature and Mother Earth, because she is the big reminder of you're here now. I mean, you just feel it.
You do.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I recommend, you know, even if you can't get to the woods or the beach,
mm-hmm.
shucks, hug a tree in Central Park, or, you know, grab a tree that's on any sidewalk. I mean, you don't even have to just hug a tree. Sit with your back to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just unbelievable to be outside. You know, I even just breathing fresh air and hearing the birds and watching the squirrels and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much richness in that which, you know, humanity on some level at this point has given no value to. It's so funny how, you know, or it's given value only if it can be bottled, boxed, and sold, as opposed to just enjoying it in the essence of all its chaos with no organization, at least not for man, you know, and in its all its recklessness and mischievousness, the power of just the presence. I mean, for me, it's the forest. It's just, it's teeming with life, and it's not just trees. There is multi-dimensions in and out, and portals and animals and insects and the wind and the dirt and the rain, if you're so lucky, or the snow. I mean, it's such a plethora of experiences. And in my humble opinion, all focusing their attention on well-being, balance, and center.
Yeah, you know what else I want to say to that, because I noticed that you know, my love affair with nature has been forever, you know, since I can remember. And yeah. It's funny because as you were talking, and I just want to share this with people because the love affair with nature, it's accumulative. It's not like your experience with being out there. It's not temporary. It becomes a part. It becomes part of you. It's like it does create, because I can feel that, and I, you know, it just kind of hit me while you were talking that this isn't just going out and going, oh, I'm just going to take a nice break in nature. Yes, that's fine, but what you're getting from nature doesn't go away.
It's a bank account of presence.
It does feel like you're banking it because I noticed that it's just a part of me. It's always with me. It doesn't leave me. So like you sort of almost draw on that from within you because of the love affair with nature.
Well, it allows you to trust, right? And allows you to know because if you have enough of it, in the last 10 years, I have spent significant times in the woods. Mm-hmm. And on so many occasions, I would literally go in, you know, monkey on the back, running the train of over and over and over in my head. And within at best, 20 minutes of being in the woods, I'm already going, oh, look at that. And my space is quieted down. I mean, I still got the problems. I'm just not thinking about them. My mind is no longer running the show. There's a childlike presence that I'm just like, I can smell the earth and the green. I'm watching the birds and seeing what nature wants me. You know, I'm not distracted. I'm abstracted.
I think it's because it's our natural essence, and because it just activates that back, and but what's cool is like when I paint trees and I don't have to look at anything because it's in me. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, once you're out there and you're just sort of in the presence of nature, it's just, you don't have to, it's just part of you because it is you. I mean,
we made
of all those ingredients and stuff. So, you know, so.
It's not a big stretch here.
No, it's not a big stretch. But I had this kind of interesting experience the other night. It was a first for me. But I love it.
A virgin experience.
In a way, because I've always had my dream time has always been an incredible experience, beautiful, you know, sometimes complex, and you know, all this, you know, as other people I'm sure have, and you know, I have, you know, learned over the years that whether it's from Robert Monroe or Bill Donahue or others, that we pretty much leave our body and go traveling. And that's why a lot of times so normally when I wake up, I'm fully in my body and awake and very coherent and very, like, you know, I'm not groggy. So this was a really interesting experience, and I thought I'd share it because, you know, Dreamtime is one of those places that I don't think our culture really gives enough credit to or time to. And I think dreams are incredible experiences and very rich in knowledge and important. You know, I think they're important. So I went to sleep and nobody was home. Unbeknownst to me, my son was coming home and from New York City, where he lives, and he was coming home, I guess, for Christmas, actually. Like, so it was like two nights before Christmas, but I didn't expect him, or he didn't let me know, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, and he was bringing his cat, which we would put in my studio to keep him in there because I have a cat and I'm not sure they get along. So anyway, I hear, so I must have been in a very deep sleep and probably far away from my body, because I hear him say, "Mom, it's me, Zach." And I must have been so deep and so far away, because I heard this voice, and then he said it again, "Mom, it's me, Zach." And he wanted to let me know he was home, but he also probably wanted to say, "And I have the cat." And I literally, this is so different for me. I was thinking, I'm going, this is what, I mean, in my head, I'm going, "Mom, it's me, Zach." And I go, "What does that mean?" And I
wow.
I'm like,
wow. You are not in your body, clearly.
No, I could not connect to "Mom, it's me, Zach," what it meant.
You were in the unknown.
No, I was so far away that I didn't even know. I guess I wasn't even in touch with this reality. Cause I'm going,
obviously, which is okay.
No, it was actually fun. It was such a new experience for me. I was going, "Mom, it's me, Zach." And then I go, "What does that mean?" Like, I could have literally, the next thought could have been, "Who am I?" But it was like,
wait, what was Simon's original email? Have you gone batshit crazy?
Yeah. No, but it was really a
I
new
love you,
experience
babe.
For me. And,
right on.
I liked it because
exactly.
it kind of proved something. Because I am a very, I'm not.
You're an explorer.
But like, I'm very clear-minded, and but to not know what "Mom, it's me, it's Zach," I was like, "Wow, where was I? And who am I?" And it just evoked all this, like, I must have been really far away from here, and I have no clue, but it was fun. It's just
right
it was
on.
Fun.
See, and the next question I was going to say to you, and how did you feel? And if it felt fun, that, to me, that's
well,
that's embracing your, what, pardon?
Yeah. No, it struck me as fun because, I'll tell you why. People enjoy this because they'll be like, "Really?" But I find, I'm very coherent. So I think it's a good sign when I'll come out of a store now, and I've said this before, but I literally forget where I put the car.
Yes.
But for me, I like that because I'm not so fixed on the little,
matrix.
I just feel like I'm more in the flow.
Yes,
and
by
so
not
like,
remembering.
By
not
remembering.
Now, did everybody hear that? She's not having a moment where she's beating herself up. Right.
I'm like, oh, so I'll walk around the lot for a while, and eventually I'll find it, and I actually think it's... And I'm like, and I actually think it's funny because it's so unlike me. And I never worry. It's not like someone else, "Oh, maybe there's something wrong." And I'm going, "No, actually, I think there's something really right going on."
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
I feel like I'm in the flow and these little things don't matter. And I'm not obsessed about them.
Oh, shucks. We have a caller.
Okay. Great.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go. This is good.
I want to call. All right. Area code 386. You're on the air.
Hello, Goldie.
Hey, who's this?
This is Art.
Hi,
Art.
How you doing?
Yay! Merry Christmas, Art, and Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Merry Christmas,
same to both of you. Yep, same to both of you.
Right on. What's up to?
I had a little something that I wanted to contribute.
Please.
Great.
Okay, I sent you, Golden,
okay.
A little... link to a song about a week ago.
Yes.
But it has a lot to do with you, and I wanted to let this out.
Okay.
Golden Hawk.
Oh.
So fly, little bird, up into the clear blue sky, and carry the word, love's the only reason why.
Goldie.
Yes, love.
That is beautiful.
Oh.
That is you.
You are the wind beneath my wings, sweet soul. Do you know that?
But you are sharing this across everywhere.
Aww.
Thank you.
That's delicious.
Right on. No kidding.
Your father gave you a gift of love.
Oh, right
Aww.
On.
What better to
right
do than that, right, Art?
Yeah. Pardon.
You're sharing this across the universe.
That's so
wow.
great.
You're just my heart, my friend. My heart, my soul. I love when Art, are you going to be with us on New Year's Eve?
I perhaps will.
Okay.
But the point is, you chose Golden Hawk.
Mm.
You are doing this. What is in this song?
What are the words again? What are the words? The golden. What does it say? Little bird in the blue sky.
So fly, little bird, up into the clear blue sky, and carry the word. Love's the only reason why. Why? It's the Moody Blues back in 72.
Oh yeah, the Moody Blues.
Yeah, Art always comes up with classics for us.
Hey, Art,
they were awake.
So beautiful.
They were awake also, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. Right on. Yes.
Art, could I would love to give you a gift of a signed copy to you from me of my story, The Magic Gown, or to anyone that you'd like me to make it out to.
Your kids!
Sure, I have two children.
Oh, I'd love to do that. And, you know, you can email, you know, I just need your mailing address and your name, that's all. And, if you know, you can either email to me or Golden Hawk. If you sent her something, maybe you could do that, you know, privately so I could get it.
Right. She has my address, but I can send it again.
So, yeah, send it again because I'll have to find it and, you know, me
hard. I can send it again.
Yeah, if you send it, I'll just forward it to her. So that would be awesome.
Art,
awesome.
I couldn't be more delighted as to who I would be sending a copy to. Aww. Thank you so much. That was so beautiful, a sweet little song like that. It's such a beautiful part of the night.
Art.
Don't you think, Golden
Hawk? Well, when I was listening to it not too long ago, that's why I sent it to Goldie, because of what it says in there, you know.
You're right.
Yeah,
on.
And I agree.
We're going to download that. That song is going to get played. I like that song, too. I mean, I've always been a fan of the Moody Blues. You know,
I
listened to them. Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
So beautiful,
yeah.
Art. Thank you.
But
thank you.
You are sharing the love.
Well,
you,
you know what?
The truth? You know,
but
absolutely.
Okay, I'm turning three shades of red right now.
Good. Let's keep going here.
Oh, you know, but Art, are you feeling it now? I mean, what's your interpretation of what's happening energetically right now?
I feel the love. I feel it. I feel it strongly. And, you know, even at the beginning of your show, you were bringing it out. So I want to share this live so that other people would see that you've come to help and you are doing it.
Thank you, Art. You're so amazing. Thank you.
Okay.
Boy,
I'll let you go.
I am blessed with a magical audience. Well, listen, don't you go far now.
Thank you, Art.
You're allowed to
Thank
hang
you.
Up, but don't you go far.
Thank you. Right.
All right. Much love to Josh and John.
Certainly. I'll let you
All right.
Know.
Definitely, Bye. Definitely. Bye. Oh, my God.
Wow, that fills the cup in the picture, doesn't it?
Yeah, that art can fill, art could fill the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Well, whenever people say...
Nothing sweeter than a little song.
Oh, and he did send it to me, you know, and sometimes in the chaos of everything, I didn't even listen to it, you know,
well,
and I thought
that.
It was the Moody...
Let's play that song.
Yes. I will play that song. I will. And, but, you know, it's so much more than a song. I mean, there's presence. You know,
oh, yeah.
when people say it only takes a small group of people to create the change, it's presence. Presence
yeah.
doesn't need quantity. Presence is quality. And
quality.
It's the quality that, it's why... So many can be asleep right now, and the ones that are the small group that are awakened, we don't have to worry. There is nothing to worry about. You know,
yeah.
everything is going to work itself out because that small group of presence is, you know, has an impact far greater than the large numbers of being still asleep. I mean, and it's not, because it's not a negative. They're just asleep. You know, their timer hasn't popped, you know, to awaken them yet, okay? And
mm-hmm.
there's things that need to get done, because galactically we're at a space where we're in alignment with other galactic barometers. So there's, you know, 144,000, that's what most people would say, that are, you know, independently, interdependently working together in harmony in our own little things, getting each doing our piece, getting the job done. I mean, that is just
No, you know, when I said the miracle maker it's the worry doll, it's the hawk, it's the sending the book to Simon. I mean, Art calling up and singing you that song is so beautiful, but it just feels like that's what I'm talking about. You know, these wonderful, just, I don't know, they just feel like these miracles, these moments. They're moments, but they're so full of this great creative love, you know, it's just, I don't know, I felt it. When he started singing,
it's beautiful. How do you
God.
Not feel it?
Is it any better? No.
Oh, it's just, it really is. I mean, my Christmas gift is hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
He floors me. He floors me because, I mean, and there's no wavering. That is, you know, that is Art. You can call Art anytime, any day, you know, and that, this is, you know, he has nothing to prove to anybody. He's just, he just is. And I'll tell you, he is, you know, just an exquisite experience. It's like, the art experience. It's powerful. It's very powerful. I mean, literally, I can understand why, you know, you can get knocked on tilt, because it brings a clarity to the moment of like, wow, you know. It's here, man. Heaven on earth is here. And listen, I have the song. What we're gonna do is it's 4 minutes. We're gonna end the show the last 5 minutes with the song.
Oh, great!
It's gonna play out. So
you mean the Moody Blues song?
Yeah, the Moody, the land of make believe. I mean, you should see it.
Great.
Totally.
To put it technically, it's that creative thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a synchronicity role here. I mean, I am just, life is magical and it just doesn't stop. And this is what, you know, I want people to know and really take heart that the magical is starting to become more prevalent in my life than the mundane. And, you know, because it is clear to me, I could be sitting here worried myself sick and hear those words clearly, because that's what worry does, about all the things that are falling apart and not showing up as, you know, as the functioning way of a third dimensional person, or I could, you know, have trust, infinite trust and joy in the now moment where, you know, I have beings who are supporting me. Scott is supporting me. I mean, he, what a doll. I mean, he's like, listen, I'm working now and you're not. And he's picking up food. And I mean, it's just, we started tapping into it.
And Dad is sponsoring and,
well,
you know.
Exactly. It's like, you know, we started tapping into this, and I would definitely, I think it's, you know, as our Christmas show, even though it's post-Christmas, you know, the week before New Year's Eve and stuff, there's definitely magic in this week. Everybody, I've always known this, even when I was a partier in the days, I've always known, like, you know, they always talk about the tween times, the fairies, you know, are in doorways in tween time. And I know there's a specific day, the 4 days, I think, what, October 31st through November 3rd, that's a big tween time. Well, the week between Christmas and New Year's, that's a tween time. And There's a caller that just popped up. If you want a book from Janine, she's giving it out, but you got to press one and say hi to us on the air. That's the price of the book. You gotta say hi on our Christmas day. So I hope you do, because, yay, they hit one.
Thank you. Who is this?
Yeah, let's wait. I'm trying to get them on hold. Okay, area code 916, you're on the air with us.
Hi.
Hi,
hello.
Who's this?
This is Kayla.
Hi, Kayla. How are you?
Good. How are y'all doing tonight?
We're
good.
Fabulous.
We're good. We're happy you called.
Exactly.
Happy you called, too.
Right on.
And I'd love to send you a book signed to you.
Oh, I would love that.
Oh, great. All
excellent.
All we need is somehow to email
well,
me
okay.
or Golden Hawk.
Do you have a pen? Do you have a pen or are you on Facebook with us? Are you a regular listener? I am not a
regular listener, actually. This is my first time actually calling in.
Oh very good. Good girl for calling in. Right on, sister. Right on. We encourage it. It's
yeah,
really much easier once you do it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I do have a pen and a piece of paper.
Okay. Well, Janine, you should give her your direct email. There you go.
Sure. It's my name, Janine Kimmel, JanineKimmel @gmail.com.
Right on.
And just shoot me your mailing address and your name, and I'd be happy to sign the book to you or to anyone you want me to sign it to, and I'll send it out. And it's my gift to you, and thanks so much.
And it's a fabulous book. Let us know what you think about the book, because...
I will.
Yeah, it's Janine's... It's great work, and it's a children's book that clearly transcends age. It's the journey we all go on. You know, written for a child, experienced by all. It's as simple as that. So, you know, definitely cool. Cool!
Yay!
Kayla! Hey, you want to give a shout-out to anybody, or you want to share anything? Or
no. It's my first time calling in. I don't really know a lot about what your guys' channel is about.
Okay.
I would love to learn more about it.
Right on.
Well, great.
Yeah, we're the happy chicks from the back.
Well, definitely, you can always, we're always archived, so you can always listen and catch the progress that with our spiraling unfolding, right, Golden Hawk?
That is the absolute truth, right?
I was thinking earlier... the expression turning the corner really doesn't apply. It's sort of like turning the curve.
Yeah. Well, right, because we're letting go of right angles and doing the spiral.
We're more into curving spirals.
Well, and it's great because you'll know what's coming. You just get to revisit it in a different way. That's the beauty of it. That is definitely what I'm experiencing right now.
Well, listen, thanks so much,
and
I'm wishing you all a great Happy New Year. And we'll be on Saturday night, so.
Yeah. I feel compelled to share with you. Saturday night we are doing from 8 to 10. We are going to be doing a ceremonial show of it's almost I'm going to call it initiation art because there's qualities to it. Where we're setting up the intention to marry our higher selves. You're welcome to listen. You're welcome to, if you want, like I'm encouraging everyone to write, you know, vows to themselves and commitments to their higher self, to the aspect of them that's in, you know, the space and time that's spaceless and timeless and, you know, has a total perception of what's going on and the commitment that we're not going to stop until... We're totally a part of that aspect of ourselves, and which you know is clearly our message anyways. But there's something clearly auspicious about doing this on the eve of 2012. In my humble opinion, you know, declaring this to the cosmos and the universe that I am in connection with my I Am presence. I am, you know, in connection with my soul, and I'm that relationship holds, you know, that relationship is everything. Every other relationship stems from my connection with myself, and it is my first priority. That's how I'm going to be kind of wording it. But if we do it as a group and then we declare it on the air, both me and Janine feel that it'll be it'll be a powerful experience that will influence everybody who participates, you know, into the year 2012, you know, in probably profound ways that, who knows, you know, we'll just have to kind of wait and see how it affects all of us. But I bet you it's going to be good. That's just my humble opinion, and my humble opinion is going to be good. So, yeah, well, I just wanted to share that with you so you know that that's going on, and, you know, we're glad that you're here, really glad.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks
I
for
will
calling.
Definitely
it's, big, it's a big act of courage, I've noticed, so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put you on hold. You can stick around and listen, and you can go to the archives. Just stay beautiful, right? Because we're both really glad you called. We love when people call in because you get to share in the joy, and that's mm-hmm. clearly what, you know, we're just joysticks around here.
Keep your eye out for the book, too. It'll be coming to you.
Yes,
definitely
yes.
will.
Excellent. All right.
Thank
that
you
was
so much,
Kayla. All
You're
right.
Welcome.
Our pleasure. Take care. That's hot.
Bye.
All right. Yeah. More gifts.
That's great.
You know, well, I love it. It's like people are flying by and,
yeah.
you know, and it's funny because Dennis and me were talking today and he's like, you know, you're not opening up chat rooms. And I came up with a brilliant analogy, and I go, you know what a chat room is? When you open up a chat room on Blog Talk Radio, it's like playing with a Ouija board.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to fly in, but more than likely, it's going to be riffraff.
Yeah. I like the callers are just, you know,
it's
kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's more
like personal.
Authentic. Yeah, it's more authentic and showing up and, you know, I think it was Woody Allen that said showing up is like 90% of everything. So, you know.
Oh, really?
Exactly.
Yeah. Him or Yogi Berra, but yes, exactly.
Well, I saw an interview, but maybe he got it from him. But yes, and I think, and Patrick O'Neill talks about showing up is really like a, you know, it's the most significant. A way of honoring someone is by showing up for them. So,
Right on.
Yeah.
So, well, it really is a magical night. I can feel it. It's going to be a magical week. Yeah.
I'm
so
cute. From art.
I know. You're so beautiful. I love it. It's like my family. My family is, see, and it's so amazing. You know, I had posted this, I think one day last week. I posted on Facebook Janine's goblet, and I was like, you know, my cup is no longer half empty or half full. My cup runneth over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we let the heavy lifting, when we leave that kind of through intentions and the heavy lifting becomes the letting go of the control. I mean, that's truly
mm-hmm.
what we're letting.
That is true.
That's right. You know, that's what it is. And then your cup never empties, and it's not only full, it really is overflowing, and the experience you have is no longer, you're not the stone in the river fighting the current, you know, the pressure all the time. You're just going with it. It's taking you wherever it's taken. You don't need oars, you know, up the creek without a paddle. Oh, you don't need paddles. Trust.
Yeah.
Trust that. Yeah. That you have a higher self involved in this game down here. And I mean, and I know our higher selves are coming into our physical beings now, but they've always been a part of it. So even if our cellular structure isn't ready yet to handle a frequency that, you know, on some level could fry us if we're not ready. So and we're preparing. We are getting ready. We are changing, you know, our diets. We are changing how much, you know, water we drink and the magic we obtain within. All of that is changing not just our energetic field, but our physical field. And it, I mean, from my own personal experience, it's becoming, you know, one giant ride of, you know, of joy. Even, because, like, I was speaking to Ellen today, and, like, I am starting to genuinely understand what it means to sit with uncomfortable feelings until they alchemize my body the way my body needs to be. Like, I really do understand pain as a presence that is clearing, you know, the egotistical bullshit out of my field. Because pain is, when it's looked at as an ally, not as an enemy, is magic, man. It's healing. And it's almost like, you ever see the stories where they're in the jungle and they take the leeches and they put them on the infected cuts, and the leeches only eat the bad infected parts, and they leave all the healthy cells perfectly alone.
That's the maggots.
Oh, is that the maggots, not leeches?
Yeah.
Okay, maggots.
Yeah,
and you know,
the dead tissue and leave all the life and the
infected tissues,
and they clean the wound,
but like brilliantly down to a very small particle. I mean,
even though they're not very pretty, so you kind of have to hang in there.
They're
with
parasites. They are right. I mean, you would not expect that, but it's like,
no, you would never say, oh, that's a cute little maggot.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't, even though, and also they're very good protein.
Thank you.
If you ever needed that,
right,
it would be there.
You're right. Staying with the discomfort, I remember this very, very wise woman said to me, when you get those feelings that you want to push away, do not bring them in closer and bring them in closer, because you know what I realize now? That's an aspect of yourself that you don't want to push away. You want to invite in. And that is truly when there's a shape shifting, or you know, or alchemy, and it's almost like, just because it's very efficient to do that, to keep pushing away all that, is just, you're just prolonging the inevitable, which is eventually you have to invite that part of yourself in,
exactly.
So that you can integrate, and which is one of our favorite words, and you know. So, yeah.
And yours, our favorite word, and yours.
And my favorite, but if you ever had, like, and the top 100 best advice I ever got, you know, she would definitely, that would definitely be what, that is probably one of the top 20 where she said, you know, two things that woman said to me. She said, when you feel those feelings, whether it's loneliness or despair or hopelessness or, you know, she said, bring them in really close and be with them. Because, you know, now and it's funny, I totally get that now. And the other advice she gave me was, most of your worrying, at least 95% of your worrying, is completely unrealistic. And I was like, when I heard that, I went, oh, that's so great, you know, and it was relieving. And by the way, she was right. You know, so much of that is just this. Yeah. So, it's very good advice. And I wanted to read you that this part, this is about the caller and the difference between chat room and also. Just,
oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, Patrick O'Neill wrote this. It was like a Christmas greeting. And he used the word presence as in not, you know, P-R-E-S-E-N-T, but P-R-E-S-E-N-E-N-C-E, the gift of presence, which is to be present with someone, to be there with them. Or, you know, so this was like a Christmas greeting. But he said, showing up and being present with someone is an act of love and respect. It says that the other person is important and that the time we spend with them is valuable. You know, and I mean, that sounds so... everybody knows that, but, you know.
No,
but
not everybody experiences that. It's a deep experience.
He called it Christmas presents, which is, you know, and then there's a quote under it, it's a Celtic saying, and it says, heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart, but in the thin places, that distance is even smaller. And you were just saying, and it's like in these times right now where it's, you know, it's very, it's a thin place.
Between
like,
times, yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Times.
Exactly.
So he said that in an email to me just last week, and I remembered. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go find that email and read it, you know.
Yeah, do me a favor, post that. Post that
okay.
on the wall as well.
Okay.
Mine and
that.
Yours, or you know, tag me on it, because,
okay.
yeah, I like when, yeah, these are beautiful quotes that, you know, they carry the frequency of what we're sharing right now. And,
yeah,
you know, that,
yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean,
that's
hot. Yeah, this is all just, you know, it's crazy because, you know, and this is something I definitely noticed too. And, you know, I have a feeling, you know, it's like, I mean, I've been at this whole, you know, the clarity thing and the releasing thing years and years and years. And I can remember people saying, you know, do we ever get finished with it? And I don't know if we get finished with it. I mean, I haven't finished it, so I can't say I'm there. But I can tell you there's a tipping point in
yes.
in the experience of the triggers. I mean, I know we're near get as sad or depressed or as down on myself as I used to, you know, 16 years ago. I mean, nowhere near that. My resiliency to, like, you know, the visual I just had was, you know, like, you know those little fish bobbers when
yes.
you...
Yes.
They always come back up to the surface, bobbing, pop, pop, pop. They might go under for a minute, bob, pop. Then they come back up and they bob, 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 and then they go down and then they bob, bob, bob. It just seems like my standard since choosing to do the journey within, you know, connect with my I am presence, you know, stop directing my actions from my mind and start directing them from my heart and my soul and my emotions. You know, since making these shifts, which was initially going into the cauldron of hell.
I mean, yeah.
It has literally, I have moved through the hell that was so painful into a heaven that still might have pain in it, but it's never a hell because the pain is truly, I mean, it's my greatest teacher, it's my ally, it's a part of me that I couldn't even bear to say, don't come home, you're not welcome mm-hmm. here. I mean, it creates a compassion in yourself that if I can bring home with compassion my own pain, I could look at anybody's pain with compassion and say, well, let's bring you back home to you. You know, I'm not, there's no judgment on, you know, sexual disorders. There's no judgment on, you know, it's so funny. I always go to sex when I'm in the sense of what I'm forgiving because, I mean, for me, that just seems to be the flavor of life that my pain came from. You know, just, you know, sex being twisted and turned and misused and misguided. But there's a sense of healing that I've done around that area that, you know, someone can come up to me and say, you know, I used to be a prostitute. And I'd be nothing but open-hearted with them and go, okay, well, you know, let's acknowledge that and let's bring in that, mm-hmm. let's bring home that prostitute because that part of you mm-hmm. needs to know that you're loved now and that's mm-hmm. okay. You know, I don't have judgment on it. I don't think sin. I mean, all I do is think, you know, okay, so that's okay. That was your choice to experience wild and crazy sex. You know, it's like, and it's not that I can't go with people into the judgment of these things being crimes because the energy as we clear and cleanse and integrate, like you were saying earlier, becomes accumulative. And in that accumulative, all you can see is the compassion and the love and the presence that is I really believe as deep as we are present in ourselves is as deep as we can see and experience presence in others. And
yeah.
I don't know how deep this presence goes, but I know, you know, I'm here for the long term. I'm just going to keep on clearing and integrating and bobbing my little bobber and welcome the souls and the beautiful stories and journeys that come to me saying, you know, am I okay? And it's like, you're downright upright. You know, you're beautiful.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, I think significant moments that lead you to that tipping point are when you notice you're coming back to redo the situation differently than you would have before, and you you see and feel the change in yourself. Like it actually strikes you as like, because that's palpable to me about myself when I see that I've responded differently, or rather than reacting to someone, I'm responding, or I'm coming back differently. And I sometimes I surprise myself and go, wow, that's so different than how you would have handled that before. And that's where I think the tipping point, you're starting to feel this momentum, because that feels really wonderful when you notice you're not handling something in an old, defensive or fixed or, you know, controlling way, but you're moving into just a different flow. And so that's what I've noticed about just sensing this momentum, you know. And
right on. And you know, it's crazy, but we are at the top of the hour. We have a few minutes left, but I want to play that Moody Blues song.
Okay.
So, but I want, say goodbye now, beautiful lady. or say see you later. There's no goodbyes.
and I just want to thank Art and Kayla?
Kayla? Yes.
That was so fun. I love callers in, and I'm so excited about sending my signed book to those two people. And so thank you. Yeah.
Oh, and your contact information?
Oh, it's two websites. JLKimmel.com. That's one. And SpringTreePress, all one word, .com. And you can see my art and about me and about my initiation art that I always am telling people how wonderful. It really does support your turning points. And
right on.
So thanks, Golden Hawk, so much. It's always so amazing how, you know, you start the show and you just drop in. I just feel this, you know, and I think that what I've noticed is I really enjoy showing up and being present, and I get so much out of this. Like, you know, it's just great. So thank you.
I love you. Oh, here at Mystical Mother Show and Mystical Mother Earth Show, we love you. Yeah, you are a presence and a present in my life on a daily basis, Janine. Truly, I love you deeply, deeply. Everybody knows I'm having a love affair with Scott and Janine.
Hey, right? It's me and Mother Nature. That's pretty
well,
wonderful.
And Mother Nature, that's true. I mean, I guess I'm having a love affair with all of humanity, if you really
think
about it.
I really love that. Yeah.
And, okay, so Thursday night is Anthony Farmer, Reverend Anthony Farmer, and he's going to talk to us what the elders have to say and bringing in the energy of 2012. And then, of course, New Year's Eve night, we're going to do the ceremonies, connecting us to our I Am presence and just celebrating our connections that we have to our I Am presence. So I'm excited for this whole week to play with you guys. I love you deeply. Art, you touch me. You touch me in places that I didn't even know could be touched. And
great.
You do.
They're all golden, too. And so we stay on to listen? Yeah.
I'm going to. Yeah.
I'm gonna
too. Definitely.
I'm gonna too. Okay.
Definitely. And if you guys, if it cuts off, it's give it about 5 minutes. The archive will be up and you can hear the whole song. So thank you so much. I love you all. Let me take off the mute and grab my microphone. Because, Janine, let me know if you can't hear it clearly, and then I'll make reservations to make it better.
Okay.
All right. I love you all, and we'll talk to you Thursday night. Bye.
Bye.
I didn't unmute it. Wait a minute. Is that okay?
Yeah. That's so sweet.
Oh, you guys, I will definitely post the video too. You got to see the video. So magical. Art, you're so beautiful. To associate me with that video and that song, is you're just so beautiful to me, Art. You really are. May everyone have art in their lives.
Yeah.
Art on every level. Yes. The man, the expression, it's so, it's just, life is so magical. It's just so magical. It really is. And finally, the time has come when we can live in make-believe, and it is and it is real. I mean, that is exactly what that song
exactly.
is sharing. And I'm going, wow, this is so, and the way you brought it to my attention, because I didn't listen to it when you first sent it to me, Art. I apologize. But that song was meant to be shown right here, right now on the show. So you are just exquisite, my friend. And and he doesn't hear this until we hang up. So
okay. So share that so I can link on there and watch.
I will definitely put that on the wall. And yes, it's gorgeous. You'll love it. And I will talk to you in a few minutes.
Okay.
And I will talk to everybody on Thursday. So I'll talk to everybody probably within 10 minutes on Facebook.
Okay.
I love you guys. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to play my outro. You can go. I'm just going to play the – oh, no, we don't play the outro. What do we play? Oh, we play Carol Burnett's song. I'm going to play that. Just our little goodbye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh, wow.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
this time together.
We have a laugh, we'll sing our songs. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.